When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Smart Food Popcorn. Some decisions aren't the best, like skipping ahead in your favorite podcast. Think of all the banter you'll miss, the lore in the making. Luckily, Smart Food Popcorn is a no-brainer. Deliciously tasty and available in a variety of fun flavors. It's a smart decision every time. Smart Food. Add smart. To learn more, visit smartfood.com.
Yeah, what do you want? Beak or jaws? Feathers or fur? Sharp teeth or feet with claws? Whatever's preferred. They'll grant you all last requests to steady your nerves. Then podcast the body parts, get severed and served. Bring your weak shit where the wolf and owl are. That ain't just a mistake, that's an awful howler. Both of them are known to pull up at your shows. Have the crowd witnessing a murder like they rolled in with a gang of crows. Fuck the censorship, let them see the whole thing. They stay dressed to kill, never sheep's clothing. Dark enough to turn the sun to the moon, you'll see nothing. All you hear is a huff a puff and a... Expect killings, red spilling and flesh ripping. Impressive innit, the death bringing his head spinning. Just kidding, every word in his song's about two grown men dressed up as a bird and a dog.
Yes, hello and welcome to the Wolf and Owl podcast. With
wow.
Me, Tom Day... me...
Yeah, I just thought... I'll be honest with you, I didn't think about what...
What a fucking time to show off you could do a Chris Eubank impression.
No, but last time I did an impression, didn't I? And then I remembered I was supposed to do an impression and I've forgotten. And that's it. I was like, my
God. All joking aside, bro, that was a pretty sick Chris Eubank.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Better than the Tyson Fury. I don't know why I've gone for a boxing theme. Absolutely no.
Are you, in a way, is this your way of just going, let's make this a boxing podcast?
Absolutely not. No.
Did you watch the boxing last night?
No, I did not. I was out, actually. I was out last night. Whoa. Party Rom was out. No, it wasn't Party Rom. It was just regular Rom. I went to the Royal Festival Hall to see David Radigan doing... he had an orchestra with him and he's doing like all the classic reggae tunes. It's good.
Oh, nice. Who'd you go with, Lise?
No, Lise has got absolutely no interest in that.
Who did you go with on your own?
I went with Flo.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah. Sweet Flo. Agent and buddy.
Yeah.
Agent and buddy?
That could be yours and Flo's podcast.
Agent and buddy. I'm the agent and I'm the buddy.
And this last is night and we had a great time at Royal Festival. Yeah.
Why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about reggae and what that sort of means to you?
Do you ever meet people who always talk like they're laughing? We took Grace to the farm for the first time. So we bowled out a little bowl about but there was a woman who worked there. And I was like, you know, when you say, oh, you're perfectly suited to this because it's a farm with kids, there's, you know, it's great. But everything she said, she laughed as she was saying it. And you're like, all right, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, literally, like, have a great time walking around. Be careful, obviously, with the animals and a baby. Because you have to worry about sometimes contamination from one. So don't pet the lambs. And the ice creams are open to 3 o'clock.
Please don't pet the lambs because your child will die.
there is a good transfer of bacteria from lambs. To babies, anyway, have a great time. You've got the weather for it. It's that nervousness.
Yeah. The problem with that is I find myself having to respond in kind.
What, you laugh along?
And so, I don't laugh along, but you sort of have to smile. You can't look straight-faced at somebody as they sort of descend into sort of...
But even just doing that, I've just done like 25 seconds, 30 seconds of that, I feel exhausted.
Yeah. We'll snip some of that out, obviously. Thought you laboured it a bit. But yeah, go on.
No, but it's
exhausting. It's tiring. Yeah,
to be that happy about things all the time. It's just
one of the things I've noticed about myself from doing podcast interviews, stuff like that, is if I'm sort of nervous around the person, I don't laugh as I'm talking. I just laugh at any kind of small joke they make.
Yeah.
Way too much. It's really bad.
If you go back to watch me on any panel show, sometimes I don't say anything, but you'll hear my laugh. I remember getting trolled once saying just Tom Davis will laugh at anything. And quite a lot of the time I find things funny, but also I genuinely sometimes watch people on panels, like when I'm on a panel show or I'm on that sort of show, and if someone's having a real torrid time and look like they're dying a bit, because I've been there and it's the fucking worst thing in the world, I'll really over-egg a laugh. Like, I'll really laugh. You literally see the audience going, oh, maybe we just don't get what this fucking guy's talking about.
I sometimes have the opposite of where, like, I'll dip out mentally. And so somebody will say something and then everyone will be laughing and then I just sort of come back into the room and I think, oh, fuck, I've got no idea what was just said. Then everybody's like zinging off the top of it and I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to wait for this to pass.
I have a real bad... So whenever I do any sort of shows, right, where, you know, like 11 o'clock show... not 11 o'clock show, how old am I? The last leg or...
Yeah. When you're in Steptoe and Sons.
So when I get my time machine, I go back to like 1995 and I go on the 11 o'clock show.
When you started on Last of the Summer Wine. Yeah, go on.
I have an awful thing and sometimes I zone out of listening to the person because I get transfixed on the auto cue.
That's bad. That's really distracting, yeah.
I do it on Sunday brunch is the worst one. I just sort of end up just sort of like drifting off and then just staring at the sort of auto cue thinking.
Yeah. I've actually sometimes seen you sort of and you're sort of mouthing the words silently to yourself.
Also, it's so much harder than that. Trying to read when they're going to ask you a question because your name's the last bit. So if they turn around and go, I love those guys, but they like a laugh when they're talking as well. So, Tom, have you ever made a souffle? Yeah. It's yeah.
Oh, hold on 1 second. I've got an issue. Lisa.
Sorry.
That was sorry. Hello, Tom.
What happened?
Oh no, I can't lock you in because you have to get out.
No, don't lock me in. Okay.
Did he just come in?
He just came in. Yeah.
Did you open the door?
No.
Oh.
I don't know how much of that will keep him. Basically, we've got a situation with Reggie.
Right. What's he doing?
He thinks my office is one of his toilet areas.
Oh, you're joking.
No, because like he doesn't ever come in here. So I guess dogs don't have the concept of what the outside is, I suppose. So he just thinks it's a new... Because obviously when we take him for a walk, he shits and pisses.
Yeah.
And so then he comes into the office. The other day he just came in. I was sat doing something and I wasn't focusing. He just squatted in the middle of the office and...
How old is he now?
6 months. Too old for that kind of behaviour, isn't it?
Also, he's coming to a time when he will be starting to try and sort of scale up the sort of the pecking order in the house.
You told me, hold on, okay. I'm going to let this bit go and then I'll challenge it afterwards. But go on.
Dogs do, right? Essentially, the Rang and Athens are now his pack, right? So he looks around you guys and he'll be like, okay, where do I sit amongst you all? Like, you know, it's a hell of a pack to work out. Who he can jump on top of and who he can sort of, who's going to be subservient to, right? Mm. So what he's seen your office and he's gone, right, let me just try this guy. Yeah. So there's two options here, right? One, he's been doing
Are you about to ask me to go and shit in his room?
No, mate, but sometimes you need to do that sort of stuff.
What, in front of him? So wait till he's in there, sort of just settling down for the night, just walk in, squat. And leave.
Or do a shit when he's not there. Like,
so he just comes back in and
someone's left. No, but what might have been happening is he might have been using, when you're away, he might have been using your room as a bit of it. Like Lisa might have just put like some sort of like toilet tray down and he's just been going in there for a poo rather than going outside.
I don't know. I don't know what's happening.
It's How's he like been with you in general? Does he feel like he's got a cocky atmosphere, attitude towards you?
How do you determine whether a dog's being cocky or not?
Does he listen to stuff you say if you give him like directional orders? He doesn't.
No, not really.
Does he listen to other people in the house?
Why are you smart? Why are you getting so excited now?
No, I'm not getting excited.
You're supposed to be my friend.
I am your friend.
No, but you're not. You're not behaving like a friend now. What you're doing is you're getting excited at the possibility that I'm in a bad situation. That's what's just happened. No, honestly, how fucking excited you just got when you go, does it listen to you? No, and then you're, oh, all right, does it listen to other people? He's so excited.
No, because I think like sometimes when we're breaking through barriers, it's a beautiful thing, right? Because
that look on your face was not we're breaking through barriers.
Right. Do you think when they were all trying to find Mordor on fucking Lord of the Rings, it was all fucking sweetness and light?
You can relate to different things with me. Relate to different. Oh, gosh.
No, but right.
No in wonder that, fucking Reggie's shitting in this office. I can't even spit out a sentence. Anyway,
in that little gang, right? In that little gang, right? Have a look. Have a think about it.
Have you? What? Yeah, go on.
Right, you had Aragorn, right? Legolas or whatever, right? There was a lot of fucking pimping guys, right, on that fucking journey, what they were going on, right? Okay, and a lot of people vying for leadership. And like when you actually first look at it, who was the fucking leader? Aragorn. Oh, and then Gandalf fucking stepped his grey beard in, right? But you know who actually the one that they ended up respecting the most?
Who?
Sam Wachowski?
Samwise Gamgee?
Yeah. Right, whatever.
Are you talking about Mike Wachowski from Monsters, Inc.'s brother?
No, but you know who they ended up respecting him and why? Why did they respect him and love him the most?
Because he had his tongue firmly up Frodo's arse.
No, because they called him Sam the True, right? I think. Right, because he was.
I don't know. I have not watched it in a long time. I'm gonna for better or for worse, take what you're saying as the truth.
And the reason they did is because actually he was sweet and lovely, right? They all like you know, and all the rest of them pretty much end up dead. Okay, what I'm saying to you is, don't try and be Aragorn or Legolas, or even Gandalf, someone you can't beat, right?
Tom, I'm not trying to be Aragorn or Legolas. I just don't want my dog to shit in my office. Okay, how have we got here?
No, right. Instead of barking orders at him and being like, you know.
When did I say, okay, you've made that assumption. I'm not barking orders at him.
No, but what I mean is when he comes in next time, right, because what happened then, right, is he's come to take a shit in your office or a wee, and straight away you're like, Lisa, Alex, right? And you're panicked, right? What you should have done is just gone, hey.
No, but the reason I was panicked is I didn't want to have to. Ordinarily, I would have dealt with it, but I'm on the podcast.
Yeah, no, yeah.
You know what I mean? So I was trying to, I was just hoping that one of them could come in and grab him. But ordinarily, if I was sat at the desk and I wasn't doing a podcast, I wouldn't sit here in fear at my desk going, Lisa, Alex, get him out of here. I would actually deal with it myself. It's because I was in the middle of recording a podcast. It's why I reacted the way I did.
Right. So next time he comes in for a wee or a poo, you just go, no, Reggie, no. Okay.
Okay, I do that. The idea that you think teaching me to say no to my dog is fucking new information is absolutely fucking incredible.
Because you know dogs can only understand...
And also, not only that, it took you about 7 minutes to fucking get there.
You know that dogs can only understand 5-6 words max.
Yeah, and apparently I read that dogs' names are just like... Dogs don't give a shit about names.
No, that's a fallacy we've given them. They never had names before human beings came along.
No, obviously they didn't have. All their names would be Bark, couldn't they? I know that. But no. The point I'm trying to make is they don't have the same attachment to their name. It's just like a...
No. Yeah. And also you've got to be really, really careful about... I mean, because it's all right. Number one, it's how you say it, right?
Yeah.
You know, when you're in the park, you go, Reggie boy. But you could almost go, Bluebell. Bluebell. And it meant this... It would be the same thing, right?
No, I get it.
It's just the sort of like how your tone of your voice works.
Yeah, I get it. I find calling a dog back, calling Reggie back in public spaces tricky.
Get it. You know what you should do? Learn how to whistle really nice.
Yeah, I haven't got that in my locker really.
Like this, look.
Oh, that'd be cool if he's right next to my head. What am I supposed to do if he's across the other side of a park?
No, get one of those dog whistles.
If I'm lying on Reggie, yeah, I can see how that would work.
Well, you know what you could do? Get one of those nice, cool dog whistles and have it one around like a funky chain. And then, like, when you're out, you look cool, but also, also you're able to sort of get in contact with him and stuff.
Yeah. He respects Lisa. He does respect the boys. I do think he respects, yeah.
Landis, I loved my Landis more than anything, right? I would need to say as well, thank you. Big shout out to everyone who's messaged.
Oh, mate, we've had so many, loads of people. Thank you so much for all your messages of support.
But he, you know, always respected Catherine Moore. Always. He would look. I remember talking to Flo actually once and saying to Flo, he stopped wanting to turn left with me when we went for walks. And he just did that out of, yeah, he just didn't want to, like, and he used to sort of like, be fine, but I go, we're going to go down here, and he just got shake his head and walk off. And I said to Catherine, oh, he doesn't ever want to turn left. And she was like, he's fine with me. So, look. So
just with you, you had to go right every time?
Yeah. So you end up doing a circuit that's just all rights. You literally just go like that.
No, I get it. I understand what would have to happen, yeah. Did you ever get yourself into, like, a problem where, like, it's like, fucking hell, Landis, I don't know how we're going to get out of this one, mate.
You've added on another 3 miles now, mate. but it genuinely, I knew where my... I'm the same now.
Mm.
You know, with Grace, I'm the bottom of the pile.
Yeah.
You know, that's
but
just...
But Grace will let you turn left, right?
Yeah. At the moment, she's going through a phase where she just won't let me leave the room. Like, she'll just shout. If I go out the room, she just shouts.
Yeah. Lisa does that. Really angry. Where are you going?
I'm going to festival fucking all, mate. Yeah. Oh, you didn't want to come. Soon as you leave, your office door's cracked open and Reggie goes in for a shit.
Go on, Reggie. Go on, Reggie. Go on, Reggie. This is what he gets for going to see David Rodigan. Go on, do a big one. Fucking curried his pedigree chum. Listen, we've got a problem here. I'm really hot. I'm wearing a jumper. Yeah. I notice you're wearing a hoodie.
Right.
Both wearing unsuitable clothing for this weather. And the big problem that we've now got is we're currently experiencing single layer weather. It's a huge issue.
You know what as well, like, is I find a comfort in a jumper or a jacket or an overshirt.
I love a hood so much. Yeah. A hood,
like,
is just...
You're talking T-shirt weather, right?
Yeah.
Like, number one, T-shirt makers, yo. And actually, we need to look at this for our merch.
This episode is brought to you by Smart Food Popcorn. Some decisions aren't the best, like skipping ahead in your favorite podcast. Think of all the banter you'll miss, the lore in the making. Luckily, Smart Food Popcorn is a no-brainer. Deliciously tasty and available in a variety of fun flavors. It's a smart decision every time. Smart Food. Add smart. To learn more, visit smartfood.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Like, T-shirt, look, the neckline of a T-shirt just fucks so quickly these days.
I know. Mate, yes, preach, Tom.
It's like, literally, there used to be a day where you could have a T-shirt and you could have it for fucking 4 or 5 years and the neck would never fucking move an inch. Yeah, and I'm talking nice T-shirts now, right? Mm-hmm. And it literally, you wear it fucking twice and before you know it, you're knocking around town in a fucking scoop neck like some prick who's just...
Mate, this like, scoop neck, why is that? Is that because we've got huge heads? Is it only...
No. No, it's mate, people are cutting corners. People are cutting corners out there, brother.
It's outrageous.
Mate, you know what? It's a good look if you've got fucking, whatever this bit is here, right? Where you've got that, you know, that bit on your neck that comes down between your shoulder and your neck.
Clavicle.
Is that what it's called?
I think so.
That bit there, if that's defined and you've got fucking nice shoulders, right? That, you can bust that look and it looks fucking hot. It's like, you know what? I would
that's
give my
weird,
right bollock.
Really, really weird detail to pick out there, just so you know.
No, but it is. If you've got nice traps, you can wear any sort of T-shirt, right?
Mm.
Right? If your fucking traps look like fucking bread, basically, that's just been fucking puffing out. Well, that's what my shoulders look like, nicely risen fucking flabby bread. It's like, I would love just one summer to be able to put on a vest with, like, you know, a nice fucking vest top and just walk, even just to walk around the garden in, not even to go out in.
Listen, I just think let's leave that. I think let's leave vest tops just as an unattained ambition. Even if you did get ripped,
would you still not wear one?
I can't imagine a situation where I'd ever wear a vest, ever.
You know,
ever.
I see
people rocking them, and they do look good, but I can't leave the house in a vest.
I busted along to F45, right?
You're still hitting that up regularly?
Not as regularly as, mate, I mean, if I'm honest with you, it's great, but it's grueling. It is grueling.
Sure. Yeah, it's supposed to be, though, isn't it?
Oh, man.
You know, 45 minutes, you're getting your day's exercise. They've got to smash it.
It's
right?
So intense. So intense. But the guy who was
isn't it hit?
It's basically hit, but yeah, just a sort of yeah.
Mate, and you know what the I stands for, don't you?
What?
Intensity.
Yeah.
And you know what the H stands for, don't you?
High.
High. So turn up to a high intensity class.
It's actually hit. It's high intensity training.
No, but I'm saying to turn up to a high intensity class and complain about the intensity feels like.
Yeah, but F45 doesn't say that on the packet. Well, look, what I'm saying is this, right? It is very, 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 like, genuinely, I was like absolutely fucked after. I mean, this is the awful thing, right? So it's circuits, okay?
Mm.
So you've constantly.
How many times have you been, by the way?
Three.
Okay.
So you've got people behind you all the time, right?
Mm.
So when you finish with like one of the exercises, someone comes onto your exercise station. I quite quickly realised, and every time I've been there, that I was by far the sweatiest person there, which meant the person behind me, literally, probably the three or four, everyone behind me essentially would be going, oh God, this fucking... And I was trying to dry it down, but everything's so quick. Like you literally finish your 45 seconds of like whatever, and the guy's, right, okay, guys, come on, everyone up to the next thing. And then you're like, you've got to move. But then you're trying to dry down the thing because it's just now just glazed in fucking sweat. And then you just see the person behind you going, oh, God. Like, I had a horrible fucking realization that anyone behind me in that class was going back to work and going, oh, how was that 45? Oh, it was okay. I stuck behind this really sweaty guy, though. And everyone's like, oh, God, he sounds disgusting.
I've had two humiliating things happen to me exercise related recently.
Oh, go on, brother.
So I did a PT session the other day.
Yeah.
And he got me to do these farmer's walks. You know, where you carry these kettlebells up and down the thing. Yeah. Right? And I said to him on the last one, I really felt like my hands were going to go, right? Like it's really like, so I said to him, like, I did it in a pathetic way of like, it's a bit difficult because of the grip.
My grip's going.
That is exactly. So anyway, he said to me, I've got some liquid chalk. So he squirted this liquid chalk onto my hands. And, you know, like you rub it and then like you get this like coating of chalk on your palms, right? So obviously it starts helping out. The problem with the liquid chalk is, so I was really sweaty, right? And I started to get a really hungry ass. Like my boxer shorts kept going. Like right into my crack.
Genuinely right, in all the years I've known you, that is my favourite thing you've ever said. Like genuinely, I want that as a soundbite for when you text me. I start to get a really hungry ass.
So it started like... My short boxer shorts start going really like properly into my crack every time I'm doing like a thing, right? So I'm like repeatedly pulling my boxer shorts out my ass. But the problem is because I've got because I've got liquid chalk on my hands, it's leaving a fucking record of every time I've
done. Like a kid who's fucking overzealous on a pick-a-mix.
So I just saw, look in the mirror, there's this fucking powdery grab marks on right in my fucking...
Right in my yanking your own pants out.
Yeah, oh, and then like the fucking PT's like Chrissy is like just sort of... Just pretending to ignore the fact that there's a fucking forensic trail of everywhere I've touched myself during the class.
That liquid chalk is horrible, man. It's genuinely one of the worst things that you can have, that liquid chalk.
And then the other thing that happened to me was, so I've been doing PT, but I've been going to the gym in between to sort of like carry on the stuff he set me up with. And I was trying to do squats. No, something with that bar anyway. You know, it's on the rack or whatever, and you walk over. It's quite, I find that bit quite, you're in the middle of things a little bit there, and I don't like it. Do you know what I mean? It's sort of, in my gym, you're front and centre when you go to use one of those squat racks.
Yeah, man, I get it.
So I find that a little pressure. Anyway, I'm absolute rookie error. I put like some weight on each end and I didn't put clips on.
Oh, no.
And then like, I went to put the bar back in the thing. And then I've just done it slightly off. And then the classic thing, the weights fall off one end. And then because the other end becomes much heavier, the weights off the other end just clatter all over the floor. I've got noise-cancelling headphones on, right? So I've got no idea how loud that was. I look around. People just, like, obviously, like, laughing to themselves, but don't want to make you feel like a prick, right? So I put the things back. And I sort of, you know when you do that thing? I used to do this thing. When I used to trip over, I'd look back at the curb or the paving thing like it was its fault to try and cover my error up, right? That's what I did. I did. The weights come off, like totally 100% my fault. Should have put clips on, didn't re-rack it properly. Then I just look around at the weights, just shaking my head, just going, bloody hell.
Mate, I had a moment this week when... So I've been playing Football Manager 22, right? I've become obsessed with it.
And all new fathers do, yeah. Why, you know, you got to...
Yeah, and I've been...
You've got to find a way to sort of meditate. That's your meditation, isn't
it? Yeah, and it's now gotten to the point where it's sort of something I slip into sort of like when I should be working, I'll just be on the fucking train or whatever or in the office. Anyway, when the matches start on the... each match starts, basically they have this sort of really bad synthetic crowd noise that goes, right? I'm playing on the train the other day and I thought I had these earphones on, but I didn't. That basically hadn't Bluetoothed them up. So when the fucking crowd noise started on my Mac and it's going, everyone on the fucking carriage is looking around at each other, right? Me being fucking the me that I am, I sort of pull my earphones down and it's going, look, that sound of, and I start looking and making eyes at people going, fucking hell, like that. And everyone's sort of, you know, looking around, quite a few people I've sort of think, I don't know if they've sussed it's my fucking Mac. Anyway, like the guy sitting a few things up is looking, just looking down, like, you know, because it's so fucking loud.
Yeah.
And I'm going to him like, this is fucking ridiculous. Like, this is meant to be a quiet carriage, like that, trying to sort of bring everyone. I've got no idea it's my Mac, right? So then someone who works for the train comes down and there's this.
So you've gone two-footed in on this, right?
Oh, mate, I've become the fucking mouthpiece of this whole fucking situation, right? I've literally become the guy going, like, this is ridiculous now. One of the train stewards comes down and there's this. And I went, excuse me. Is that going to be happening the whole way back? Like, seriously, like, it's quite off-putting. And he just goes, pardon? I went, the sound. And he's like, and he literally looks at my Mac and he's like, I think if you just press this, and he just pressed the mute on my laptop, the whole thing goes quiet. Like the crimson red that I went. And you talk about sweaty ass, right? Like, for some reason, when embarrassment comes, right, and you've got to try and go, right, I can't show this in my face because as soon as I get embarrassed, I start sweating and I, like, you know, it's winter outside. In the carriage, it's fucking a balmy 18 degrees, right? So I'm already ragged off a little bit. So I'm like, cheers, mate. And then I start, my ass just, all the embarrassment goes to my fucking ass, right? So I'm sweating profusely. Then in my head, I've got rum bum, right? Where you're talking about, like, the sweetness. All I can think of is I'm wearing a pair of beige chinos, right?
Oh, no.
Then I start flickering, like, you know, like a fucking, almost like a Forrest Gump monologue, like kind of fucking montage vibe, back to when I was at school. And I remember riding to school once and I had like a fucking pair of cream tracksuit bottoms on. And I had like, where it was the summer, right? I had like this fucking almost perfect fucking line down my ass crack of sweat.
I've had that.
I was just, all I could think of is like, I run you, you're wearing fucking beige fucking chinos, you dickhead. You should, what? You know to wear a longer coat. You know to wear a mask. So
you're sitting there basically thinking, this line is forming now, as I said.
Yeah, no. I'm like, it's formed, right? I've got a bomber jacket that I'm wearing with it.
And like, I'm sitting in a number one fucking leather sheet seats should not be allowed on fucking. It's like that fucking plasticky leather sort of stuff. So yeah. Now I'm like, in the best fucking case, I'm thinking it's a line, right? In the worst case, this is a fucking puddle, right? Oh, and no. You know, literally, I waited for everyone else to get off the train. I'm sitting at the front of the train. I was waiting for people to, so no one would be behind me, right? And then, I went to the toilets on the train and pulled my trousers down to see if I could see the line from the inside. Right. Which there was no line there. It was fine. It was, but there was, it was just, yeah. I have like sort of flashbacks of like riding through town. Like, you know, when you just feel free and you feel so fucking, you're on your fucking BMX, you're smiling and you're just like, yes, life is great. And everyone you're driving past is just seeing that fucking tiny little fucking line. Like a little landing strip.
It happens a lot with... I've seen it a lot with cyclists. You drive behind a guy that's giving you like 3 solid inches of crack or whatever and they've got no idea. They're just sort of like living free. And I just think, let those people... I hope beyond hope when I see that they never discover that that's what's been happening.
Oh, it destroys riding bikes or...
Because, you know, you get home and then you look. It's like when you get home from a thing, we talked about this before, and you discover you've had a bat in the cave for the sort of entire afternoon or whatever. It's just absolutely
I will say this, actually. I've noticed in the last fucking 2 months that my bogey situation is getting like, even before we did, like, the Wolf in Our Lives, you were amazing. You were like, you've got a bogey in your nose. I'm noticing now that it's like, I don't know what it is. It's like, I don't know if it's an age thing. Or it's just
how close are you cropping your nostril hairs? Just out of interest.
Well, I've got the waxing situation.
Apparently, that's not good anymore.
Really?
I've now read.
What?
You do the thing where you stick the two things up and then rip them out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently, that's not good.
Why?
I'm basing this on, like, I would say, a rough estimate, a minute and a half's research. But I read somewhere that apparently, like, when you pull your hairs out, and I'd love a nostril hair expert to get in touch and verify this for us, but. Apparently, if you pull out the things, you leave the pores open, and so you're actually sort of you're leaving yourself open to potential infection or something.
Oh, wow.
Apparently. I've moved to trimming now.
Yeah, what do you trim them with then?
Little tiny pair of scissors, just get up in there, give that a nice little...
Fucking hell, that is actually one of the bravest things that I've ever heard you do.
What do you mean? I don't do it on a train. I'm completely stationary, like sitting on the bed.
Yeah, no, still, one little fucking slip, mate, and you've got a bleeding nose.
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's true about sort of anything you do, isn't it? I mean, I shave as well. Are you going to give me a purple heart for that?
No, but your nose is like, because you know what? You can't get a plaster up your nose.
Sure, yeah, no, you're absolutely right. You're right.
So you can put some tissue up there if you can.
Some of the most harrowing stories are of people that have got a small cut somewhere where they can't put a plaster on. You're right. I think they're doing a Netflix doc on that.
just making the doc, getting halfway through and going, what would someone do? And then someone turning around, I think actually you just roll up a bit of tissue and put it up your nose.
Yeah, they just stick a bit of tissue up there and it stops bleeding and it's absolutely fine.
Oh, right, yeah, well, this has been 5 months of nothing. Everyone can go home.
Sorry, I know we moved on, but I do need to ask you a genuine question that I probably should have asked you before the podcast. But how do you store your T-shirts in your wardrobe? Because I just want to break down a very first world problem here. Okay.
Yeah.
This is what's happening now. Because we're in single layer weather,
yeah.
This is the main reason I brought it up, but then we moved on. I'm getting ready to go out in the morning. I look for a T-shirt, and despite the fact my T-shirts are folded, they're like, I pull them out and they're too wrinkled to wear.
Yeah.
They just look completely fucked. And then I think, I am not going to iron this T-shirt. Like, there's absolutely no way. So then I just don't wear that T-shirt. So it's like, actually what happens is I just start searching for a T-shirt that...
T-shirts are the worst thing.
Is this a real problem?
Yeah, of course it is. Because shirts, jumpers, hoodies, you hang, right?
You hang up.
You can't hang a T-shirt because it fucks with
neck. You can, though, can't you? Or can you not?
Fucks with the neckline, man.
So what do you do? What do you do?
Well, there's actually these little fold... Like, you can get these little folding deck things that you fold them on. You get them from... They're like little sort of... You can get them in card if you're... for you, because you like sustainability or whatever.
What?
You like all sustainable stuff, right?
Right, sustainable.
Yeah,
I thought you were describing. It sounded like you're talking about trying to name an Italian ice cream house. Salsa Benetti.
right? You get these little things in it. So you fold them, put them on the each layer.
Right.
And then you can whiz through them like that. Like you're going through, like, I don't know, like library books.
Yeah, okay.
And actually, so you're not pulling them out. Because I imagine what you do, you pull them out and go, I don't want that one.
Yeah, that's exactly what happens.
Yeah.
I don't deal with the noises, but yeah, that is.
So, no, we all do that. The other way to do it, mate, and this is something simple, chilled, and maybe do this after this podcast today, is a gentle roll.
Yeah.
Instead of folding, you roll. So what you can do, when you're rolling, you can see them all in front of you, the different colours.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what I've noticed, man, you get 3 or 4 wears out of a T-shirt now and it's done.
As in full stop, not 3 or 4 wears before you put it in the wash. That's disgusting.
No. But I just think they lose shape.
The good ones, though, there must be good ones.
I love it. I like a nice T-shirt. But sometimes they're too thick then to wear in the summer.
Mm.
Like, I'd love someone just to reach out and go, yo. If I'm honest with you, you can't really. I think ASOS do some incredible T-shirts.
Mm.
Yeah. Obviously, our ones are amazing. They're still available on the merch shirt store.
Yeah, very much still available. turns out when you sort out a merch situation where you have got enough to meet demand, you realise that there isn't as much demand as
you
anticipated when you just bought 50 in and sold them all on the day.
Yeah.
And then it took you 6 months to distribute them.
Well, I'm sure there's like a sort of like, because like people obviously like sort of Ralph Lauren and shit and Adidas make a shit ton of money from like clothing. But there's probably like a fine line, isn't there, between how to do it and how not to.
I don't think there's. I don't. Are you suggesting there's a fine line between us and Adidas?
No, I'm just saying. No, I'm just saying that we didn't necessarily get it right the first time, and now this time it doesn't feel like it's necessarily. Yeah,
We're almost there, aren't we? We're almost there.
I feel for the sort of people like from the merch store who we've gone. Oh, actually, our merch is already really really busy, and then I realise a lot of emails are just complaints. Yeah.
We've got 6 guys sitting by a laptop waiting for a fucking order to drop in. I had another quick embarrassing thing I've got to tell you.
Hit me, boy.
Yesterday, Theo and I were at a loose end. Alex went off to watch the rugby, actually. He went to his first rugby match.
Oh, wow.
Went to watch the Harlequins. I think he might be a rugby fan. I do understand rugby. I used to play it at school because I wasn't allowed in the football team. And but he's like a. Anyway, I'm getting into too much detail. He was out watching the rugby. Charlie was at a birthday party. Theo and I at a loose end. Right, so we decided to go and. I don't know why we arrived at this decision. We decided to go and get a badminton set and play some badminton.
Oh, that's pretty
cool. Garden, right?
That's not at all what I thought you were going to say.
Yeah, I know. It's not what I thought I was going to say either. So then we get into town to buy the stuff. Oh, God. Honestly, mate, I felt so bad for Theo. I basically fucking really embarrassed my son, like really embarrassed him.
Why?
So we walk into this sports shop and they've got this like, we ended up buying it in the end, but it's like, it's a badminton net in a box, right?
Yeah.
That you set up instantly. And like these two poles, you just extend these two poles out the side, put the net across. And then you can just pack it down and carry it with you wherever you want, right? It's a good bit of kit. Anyway, they've got the little cases and then they've got a display one at the top. But for some reason, I don't know why, and it actually freaked me out. I couldn't see the net thing. I could just see the case. So I've seen portable badminton set, right? And I've gone, oh, this must be it here. And I've gone to grab it and then I've pulled it and I've just fucking pulled the whole net. It just made this massive bang in the whole shop. Like people stopped what they were doing and looked around. And then I was like straightened up and honestly, man, Thea was like, you know when you see a teenager being embarrassed by their parents in a film or whatever? It was like that. It was just like, oh my God, Dad, oh my God, oh my God, I can't believe, oh my God. And then this member staff
desperately looking around to see if anyone from his school's there.
Yeah, it was like that. This woman working there came over and goes, are you okay? Do you need any help? Which obviously means, can you stop fucking around with the display? And then I go to her, yeah, sorry about that. And she goes, yeah, can you just be careful? Let's try and be careful with the... I said it was an accident.
Like you're
and then
a
I sort of felt got at. I wasn't coming to vandalise a shop.
No, that's the kind of thing you do on a weekend with your son. You're that sort of shit
weird
kicker.
Guy that sort of... Just keep your eye out for this guy. Comes in with his son, just starts messing with the display. They seem to think it's funny. Anyway, the reason I'm telling that story is that I think that's the most that Theo's ever been embarrassed. Like for about an hour afterwards, he's going, oh my God, that was so embarrassing.
Did he find it funny? Because that's the thing, isn't it? Because what happens at that age is like, those things are never humorous until you get a little bit older and you realise that that's just they're the little fucking bricks that make us who we are.
I know, I know.
Did you play badminton or did you get back and it was like, it'd been sullied, the badminton set?
No, 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 we did play badminton actually.
Did everyone come back and you sort of all played together as a family?
We did actually, yeah.
Oh, that's genuinely, that's one of the happiest things I've ever heard. It's really genuine, mate. You know, like sometimes you smile inside and you just sort of...
Yeah, I remember. I've seen you smile outside, though. It's when you thought that my dog didn't respect me.
No, but I've just got this beautiful... Like, Lisa's coming out in, like, a flowing dress, and she's made some, like, homemade lemonade.
Yeah, Lisa's got her maxi dress on, ready to play a bit of badminton. Flowing in the wind as she... Flowing in the wind as she reaches for a backhand.
But you and the boys, you like... Yeah, Alex beats you, you grab him on the floor, and you have a wrestle, and Reggie's barking.
Yeah, we bring out some squash. Who wants a bit of cordial? Should we have a little break?
And then I've just got this vision of you and you're lying on the grass and you're just like in a pair of shorts and a vest top. And you just go, sometimes life is fucking good.
Do you know, I know you're taking the piss, but that is so close to what happened. Sort of had a few rounds of badminton. Everybody was laughing. Reggie was losing his shit.
You were standing there, fucking yanking your underpants out of your ass.
For some reason, I decided to use a liquid chalk again.
All over the boy's hair, where you're tumbling in the hair. All over Reggie's back, where you're stroking him.
I do think, like, you know, like how some people are like, always grabbing their balls and stuff like that, always scratching or something like that. I do think something like, you know, like those disclosing tablets.
Yeah.
You see where you've got plaque on your teeth. I actually think that liquid chalk's quite a good product for seeing where you sort of scratch and touch yourself.
How much do you scratch and touch yourself? I've never seen you scratch your bollocks.
I don't tend to scratch my bollocks. Although I did, I sort of scratched my bollocks so much once in my sleep that I woke myself up.
Right. At the moment, scratchy bollock season's here because that fucking heat when it kicks in, boy.
Yeah, you really do. Can I just say this is a public service announcement? Even if you're not showering first thing in the morning, men, can you please wash your hands thoroughly before you touch anything?
Mate, okay? Genuinely, it's...
I don't know how much scrotal tissue is on men's phones in this country.
Yeah.
Or in the world. Because, like, a lot of people, first thing you do before you do anything is reach for your phone. Yeah. And that's straight... You're talking about...
usually what you'll do is scratch your bollocks and reach for your phone. Because what you'll see is, like, with Grace and Reggie, right, dogs and babies, first thing they do is stretch. Maybe, I don't know, like, I think that probably goes up to 5 or 6. We don't do that, right?
What is that? Because I just sort of think the kids and dogs seem to have a better attitude towards sort of flexibility and mobility than we do.
Grace, literally, you wake her up in the morning, she'll just, like, have this long stretch. She'll sort of stretch all her body out, and you're, like, ready for the day. I'll literally wake up, I sort of drink a... Fucking get rid of my death breath, have a scratch on my bollocks, look at my phone for 10 minutes, and then drag my ass out of bed.
How often are you cleaning your phone?
I clean it quite a lot. I try about twice a day.
Feels like something you said for the podcast.
No, so I don't.
How are you cleaning your phone twice a day with what?
What's it called? Is it called Zaflora, I think it's called? The spray?
Zaflora?
Yeah. Mate, if
is this worth getting this stuff?
Look, if you get it off Amazon, it's incredible. Kills 99% of bacteria and ball bag juice.
They need a bit of heat. Okay, I'll check it out. All right, should we do some emails?
Let's do it, Bubba.
Now, just so you know, normally I check out the emails.
Oh, you haven't done it?
Well, I don't really check them out. I sort of have a brief sort of scan, but I haven't
done that at all. You're going in unprotected.
Totally. I'm barebacking these emails. Okay, this first one is... Jesus Christ. It's from the horribly fucking greasy ape. That's been signed off. Jesus, man. Okay. Morning, all. It's 8:30 in the evening and my girlfriend went away this Arvo for a few days. I need to know if I have a problem or whether I'm okay. For context, we're both 28, have a house and a dog, and decent but busy careers. Every few months, the lady in charge goes away for a few days to see family, etc. She's a legend and she loves cooking, which is why we get along so well, because I fucking love eating. Whenever she goes away for these little trips, she plans little meals for me and makes sure there's enough in the fridge for me to put together some bits for myself in the evenings while she's away. I'm not incompetent, she just likes doing it, and it's a gesture I genuinely appreciate. I mean, this is the thing. I've had this before. You know, when somebody does something for you like this, and then you tell your friends about it, and then they call you an arsehole because making your other after. Anyway, however, whenever she's gearing up to go and is telling me what's in the fridge, I cannot help but smile and nod while mentally planning. Oh God! Well, mentally planning the takeaways I'm going to get while she's gone. For example, today's gnocchi looks suspiciously like chicken chow mein, Singapore noodles, and spring rolls. From a restaurant with a one-star hygiene routine and a very similar Google review rating too, but I couldn't help myself. I just love having shit food when she's away. The higher the risk of food poisoning, the better. I don't even know why. I think it just reminds me of my uni days where I lived like a carefree slob eating cheap food from questionable places in the darkest, dingiest corners of the city. It's my way of properly switching off, I suppose, sitting in my undies doing absolutely sweet fuck all for a couple of days and eating whatever I want without consequence, except for the fear of shitting myself in the following hours. Does anybody else do this, and is this normal? Bearing in mind, I've just consumed about 7,000 calories in Chinese food this evening, and it's Tuesday. Thanks very much. Thanks and much love, the horribly fucking greasy ape.
I mean, he's basically now the fucking name of the season, right? That's incredible. What a name.
Name of the season?
Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's quite derogatory, though, isn't it?
I kind of like that because I love self-derogatory. It's my favourite thing. That's why I love you so much.
I know, but I feel like we need to be encouraging people to be a bit more.
Yeah, but also, look, this guy's hilarious, right? I can see that. Look, I would say now, this guy, you're sitting with him around his flat, you get a takeaway, he's going to really make you laugh. You eat together, you've probably watched some fucking cool shit on Netflix, and you don't even watch it because you're all laughing so much. He sounds like a good guy.
Do you know what? I'm sure this guy isn't like that because somebody that would talk the whole way through you trying to fucking watch something on TV, I don't give a shit how funny you think you are. Shut the fuck up.
Right. What I'm saying is like you've got like Jim Jeffries or some stand-up in the background, right? And we're all just fucking pissing ourselves laughing. Eating.
Yeah, I can imagine you watching a stand-up special doing toppers that you think are better than what the comics do.
I've been in that situation.
He should have said this.
I've been in that situation so many times. I will say this. At the moment, me and Catherine have been having this conversation quite a lot because with a newborn, I don't know what it's like for you, Romsky, but what I find is we get to the sort of like, we'll have all the best intentions. Lunch is usually pretty healthy, but and then you're doing the sort of bath time, bedtime ritual. It'll get to like this really weird sort of 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock time where you're like, okay, right, well, should I just cook something? And you end up just going, oh, look, fuck it, we'll just get a pizza or we'll get McDonald's Chinese, whatever, Indian, whatever. But also, I will say this, is that both of us individually at times have been like, oh, fucking hell, I feel like shit because we're eating all this shit. And sometimes I think in life it's actually just going, you enjoy it, right? We don't drink. We don't, it's one of our small things that we both enjoy. We have we sort of have a mutual love of shit food. So I wouldn't punish yourself. I would say that I'm always fucking looking at hygiene ratings. I mean, I don't get the fucking ordering something Russian
hygiene
roulette.
Hygiene rating, I was with you on everything apart from the hygiene.
Yeah, right there, I'm like, I've never like, I will swerve something if it's anything below a fucking, 4-star. And even then I'm fucking, that's where I'll be like dicing with death with a 4-star. It has to, I mean, it seemingly, most places have a 5-star review these days.
Yeah. So, did you see that? Have you watched Boiling Point?
Yeah, it's amazing. Stevie
G. That film's so good. But that bit where he's the guy going through and then he drops some 2 stars on the hygiene rate.
He's so fucking good.
It was the closest I've got to getting an appreciation of how difficult it is to keep up a hygiene star rating. I had no idea how those things were awarded and what you had to do.
I thought they were quite easy because it seemed like everyone's got a 5-star rating. Yeah.
I think it's like, the simpler your operation is, the easier it is to maintain. So obviously, if you've got like a, if it starts to get more, every time you get a new piece of equipment, that piece of equipment has to have like, I don't know, 20 regs that you've got to maintain or whatever. You've got to keep the paperwork up on. I assume, I don't know. I'm speaking from complete ignorance. Listen, Greasy Ape, I've got no issue with you eating takeaways. This is my thing that I would say to you. You've got to tell your girlfriend, man.
Yeah, I would say madness.
She's going to all that trouble of making that food. And I know you're sort of thinking you don't want to offend her. She likes doing it or whatever. Just tell her, man.
But also, there's an element of like being earnest with her, because just knowing how Catherine would be with that sort of thing is that she'd be happy to know that you're enjoying that food, right? And that she's done something that you're enjoying. And for you to then not be earnest and not be like, to basically for her to go, oh God, did you enjoy that gnocchi that I made you? Like, how was it? And then you're like, oh yeah, it was great. And you're sort of like, well, no, actually, you know, essentially eating a child. I think actually saying to her, look, you know, take a break, chill out.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be eating shit while you're away.
I think you've got to come to a compromise in this, because I suspect, I obviously you seem like a funny guy. And I don't, and by the way, the way I just said that, I don't think you're a bad person at all. And I'm not judging you in the slightest. I just think you should tell your girlfriend. And I imagine the reason you're not telling her is because she'll go, I don't want you eating takeaways the whole time that I'm away.
Yeah.
Because she's concerned about you. Do you know what I mean? So I think you need to find a compromise, which is if she enjoys doing you the meals because she's like happy that you're eating healthily, you go like, if she's away for 4 days, you go 2 days meals, 2 days takeaway or something. You know, come to a thing. And you will enjoy those takeaways more, I think, as a result of that, is my gut feeling on it. Do you know what I mean? And it will help you. I know I'm sounding a bit worthy here, but I just think it feels it feels a bit off to be like just throwing away food that's been made for you.
Especially in the world that we live in right now, yeah.
100%. Okay. So anyway, Greasy Ape, do not feel bad about eating takeaways. In fact, do not even feel bad about not telling your girlfriend, but you probably should tell her, would be my advice.
Keep it real, dude.
Okay.
You've got something about you and I like it.
Okay. This email's from the Springbok.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've had a springbok before, I think.
I believe so. I mean, there's only a finite amount of animals, aren't there? And people are probably choosing animals that you think we've heard of, because every time we haven't heard of it, we make a big fucking deal about it. Okay. Hey, Wolf, Al, and Swan. I hope you guys are good. Please, can this be anonymous? So I have a problem that I need help with, and you guys give such great advice, I thought I'd email in. We're helping a mate get on their feet as they've just moved to England. We've known each other for years, and they're one of my best friends. The person is... This person has been extremely inconsiderate since living with us, and we've had enough. They've treated our house as if it's theirs, making a huge mess in the process. We even started watching The Worst Roommate Ever on Netflix for them to take the hint. We've also had numerous conversations about them needing to be more considerate and helping around the house, but nothing has changed. They've been looking at flats, but have been declined left, right, and centre. This person isn't the most dapper of characters and doesn't shower for days at a time. This is probably the result they're not getting the flats they've applied for, perhaps. So my question is this. How do I tell this person to clean up and put some effort into their appearance without being a dick and losing a friend? Although I'm at the point where I don't care about losing the friendship and I don't really want to be associated with this person anymore. Fucking hell. Your help would be most appreciated. Loving the podcast. Do you to the max, the Springbok.
Yeah, Springbok. Firstly, I mean, it feels like the horse has bolted sometime, because you're too far through now to sort of...
Past the point of no return.
Yeah. I mean, I think you've got to deal with these things. There's a real fine line of the moment you deal with them. And I think you've now gotten to a point where, you know, certainly the short-term version of the friendship is almost unsalvable. I think, like, actually sort of certainly getting them out as soon as possible. But I think, like, having that real sort of heart-to-heart with them and actually sort of talking to them about themselves, because you know the things you're talking about usually are sort of linked to sort of some sort of mental health issue, the sort of, you know, lack of cleaning and the sort of I do think when I look at how, like, you know, not with sort of hygiene, but like, you know, if I'm feeling a bit down, I feel like sort of shitty about myself, like the way I'll sort of like my surroundings will become sort of messier, I won't take as much effort or as much pride in how I'm sort of looking or feeling about myself. So I think it's obviously sort of navigating that in the sort of right way. But also then there's a point of, like, I think when people sort of get into the situation that this person has, it's almost sort of a selfish sort of attitude. And I think they almost sort of find it sort of a place where they feel sort of solitary. So I don't know, their lack of respect for themselves sort of then becomes a respect that they show to others. I weirdly, like... It wasn't similar to this, but I remember, like, years and years and years ago, moving in with, like, me and my mate were going to get a house and rent a house together. And he was like, oh, yeah, there's this, you know, woman I know, like, here's a free, well, let's get a free bed and she's going to move in with us. And then I moved in and literally within a week, they're like, oh, actually, like, we're a couple. And so then essentially I was a guy in his early mid-20s living with a fucking couple. It was fucking
horrible. They
obviously
wanted you out almost immediately, right?
Huh?
They obviously wanted you out almost immediately.
Yeah, of course they did. Yeah, because I was literally like, I was going out and sort of getting rejected and fucking crying myself to sleep watching old reruns of Dawson's Creek or The A-Team. Yeah.
Sort of having sex, worrying that you're quietly masturbating next door.
But the thing with it was, I genuinely start like living with a couple. I found really, really like, I guess I it made me feel more of a loser. Like when I was first moving in with my pal, it was like we were both a pair of losers, and it was going to be this sort of lad's pad, and we'd both be going out and getting rejected by women, and both sort of laughing and joking about it. And that was that. And all of a sudden, he had a girlfriend, and it was like he sort of their lives was, you know, they'd have other couples over, right? And I'd just be this fucking almost, and I could constantly felt like whenever I'd sort of come back into my own house and go, oh, I'm just going to grab something to eat, or in the end, I'd just get a pizza or whatever, because I'd feel like sort of by the third wheel or the sort of fucking, you know, just out of place. And in the end, it sort of, it was a different, I ended up just saying to them, like, I think I, you know, I need to, and sadly, actually, because they're good people and I don't really have much to do with them now because of that. And I think we all let it just fucking slide and the relationship became untenable. So my point would be, I think you need to, for the health of your relationship and for your own mental health, and get them out of your house, as harsh as that sounds. But also, I think you need to sort of speak to them about where they're at and try and do that in the most sympathetic manner.
I think that, Tom, the point that you made there, Tom, about it being mental health related is such a good one, because I do think, like, I find, like Tom said, at my lowest points, I stop caring about how I look. I don't consciously think that, but I just, you stop caring about those sort of things. Do you know what I mean? And I wonder if that's what this, there's two things. It might not be that. It might just be that this is the way that this person is. I think that the right thing to do is to have the conversation with them. And also, I think, look, it sounds like it's unbearable having them in your flat. And I know you might feel guilty, although it sounds like you've kind of got beyond that point and you're getting a bit pissed off about it. But I think that, one, the right thing to do is to have a chat with them about their kind of behaviour and how they're living and stuff like that, because, you know, they need to sort that out, really, or it'll be a benefit to them to sort it out. So giving them that advice and sort of talking to them about it, they'll either take it on board or they won't, but at least you've done it. Do you know what I mean? And then I think you need to think about giving them a deadline to move out. I think that's a reasonable thing to do, however long you want to make that. But even if it does feel like a little bit of a way away, at least you know that you're coming to, and that everybody's of that understanding, because I just don't, you know, it sounds completely untenable, this situation. So, yeah, it's a tricky one, man. It's a really hard one. But it always happens. Whenever I've had any situation where I've lived with friends or moved in with someone, or someone stayed at mine or whatever, it just almost always ends badly, because you can't keep up like airs and pretenses and shit like that. And then it ends up just being somebody gets annoyed, and it ends up like you fucking fall out about the worst thing, like somebody leaves crumbs in the margarine or something. That could be the thing that fucking ends the friendship forever.
We have arguments about it in my house about me at the moment.
Well, I mean, sometimes Lisa will look at me, and I know that she's annoyed with me for something I haven't even got a perception of that.
I've done.
And it will be the way that I've left my shoes somewhere or something like that, or mate, something. And I'm not, that makes it sound like she's like being hot on it. She's not at all. She's a normal, decent, tidy human being.
But this is the thing,
and I'm
right?
Just a fucking idiot.
It's fucking hard to live with anyone in the world anyway, right?
Yeah.
The reason marriage and like, be, you know, or love works is because you love that person, and one way or another you navigate your way around that as you will, because there's feelings there, right? There's no way in the world when you're living with someone that you like as a friend, or that fucking varnish very quickly fades, because there isn't the side of it which is, you know, genuine, you know, love, or you don't, there's not the other bits to it.
Yeah,
like I can tell you now, up until I met Catherine, I lived with so many different people, so many different friends. I lived in so many different cities, you know, and all of them pretty much ended up with people falling out or people not getting on. There's not really many now that I can think of. Yeah, there's a few where now I'm back in touch with them and we get on, but for the most part, they were fucking really difficult. Like, yeah, great times, you had laughs, but because everyone's fucking different, man.
Yeah. I think we'd struggle to live together.
Yeah, of course we would.
I think, you know, for the first week, it would be absolutely glorious. We'd be having such a great time. And then eventually one of us would get fucking scurvy or something like that.
Also, one of us, because I guarantee the first week we live together, it would be like, oh my God, this is fucking great. We can just fucking live how we like, right? within a week of that, one of us would be going, well, actually, I really miss sanitary living. I like, yeah, you know, it's like we're eating fucking takeaways every night.
Yeah, I'd like to have a day where I haven't acquired a new disease that hasn't existed since medieval times. Do you know what I mean? Springbok is a very difficult situation, but good luck to you, man. Take action, and you will and reap also, the rewards.
Like, I want you to feel mine, Romesh's hands in both of your hands, and just both of us looking you in the eyes and saying, "Yo, you've done a noble thing that has become quite soured, but always remember the nobility in whence this started."
Okay, if you can sort of decipher that, then feel free to use that and apply it to your situation. Thank you for your email. Right, Tomo. It's about that time, my G.
Yeah.
It's a sunny day outside. Do your thing and bring us some of your sunshine, please, mate.
Yo, I want to shout out to anyone at the moment in life when you are, maybe you're traveling around, maybe you're navigating the universe, maybe you are trying to find something that you have been longing for. Maybe you're sitting on a beach in a really hot country and you've got a San Miguel in your hand and you're thinking, oh man, this still doesn't feel right. Or maybe you're sitting in like the mountaintops of Switzerland or the, yeah, some other mountaintops, and you've got like a really nice, like warm hot chocolate with marshmallows and all the works on, and you're sipping away and you're thinking, God damn, this doesn't feel right. Maybe you're looking too hard, because actually the truth of the matter is you can go anywhere in the world, right? You can live anywhere in the world. You can be friends with anyone. But a true method of settling and finding you is knowing the home is where the heart is. And you'll only ever feel comfortable and relaxed and at home when you feel comfortable, relaxed in yourself. Give yourself a pat on the back. Say, hey, buddy, you're my best friend. And you know what? We got this.
That's really nice. Really good discovery of what your point was as you were talking. Beautiful. Guys, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. It's you know what we've got to do? We should have done this right at the beginning. Sorry about last week, guys.
Oh yeah.
We
just, do you know what it was? It was both of our wives, but mine and Romesh's wives have back-to-back birthdays, which is weird, a day after each other. So it meant that neither of us have actually planned. This podcast is, we're not one of these slick people who every week go, that's podcast time.
For some reason, over a year, Tom and I have organised when to do this podcast on an ad hoc basis. It's insane. As if we're surprised that we've got to do the podcast again. As if that's the thing that's popped up in the diary last minute. Rather than just going, this is our fixed time to do it. No. What we do is every week, Tom and I will sign off. We'll go, after we've stopped recording, I'll go, all right, man, love you, mate, take care, see you later. And then a few days later, one of us will text the other one going, oh, we should record the next episode of the podcast, shouldn't we?
What my favourite thing about last week's was both of us texting with the vague idea that we might record the podcast on our wives' birthdays. I was like, oh, yeah, maybe I will be able to do it on that evening. And then going, I won't be able to do that. So, yeah.
It's just, do you know what? I didn't even, like, I'm sure Lisa would have been fine about it, but it's just taking an hour and a half out of her birthday to go, I haven't managed to organise this.
When you've been at work for fucking most of that day and then you come back and you're like, oh, wow, birthday meal, but I've got to go and do the podcast. It's not the one. Or like, I'm going to wake up at like 4:30 on the morning of your breakfast of your birthday. This is baby brain creeping in. So it's our apologies, guys.
Hello, I'm just doing the podcast. You all right?
Yeah.
Do you want to say hello to Tom?
Yeah.
You know how much Tom loves you?
Yeah.
You won't be able to hear
Tom. Oh, mate, looking very swaggy. Looking very cool.
You're looking very swaggy.
Thank you.
How's life treating you?
How's life treating you, Tom says?
Good.
Yeah, what are you up to today?
You enjoyed the rugby? You went to the rugby yesterday, didn't you?
Yeah.
So he's going to become a rugby fan.
I went to the rugby yesterday.
He got his photo taken with someone.
Oh, really? Who?
Yeah.
Nick David.
Who's Nick Davis?
Plays for the Harlequins.
Cool surname.
Yeah. Well, it's David. You misheard. All right. But yeah, it would have been a cool surname. All right. We're going to play badminton later, aren't we?
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, I've got to finish off, because this is all going to go on the podcast now, so...
Right. Right.
Okay, cool. I'll see you later.
What I like is I felt like me and you were like in Spain, and I was sort of like, you're introducing me to your new pen friend.
I'm sorry about that. Do you know what? I'm sorry about that. But I just, he likes you, so I thought.
He's so cool, isn't he? Good looking kid as well, man.
He's a legend. Yeah. Thank God for Lisa's jeans. All right.
My G, my lover. I love you, baby.
Love you too, mate. Take care. Bye-bye, take care. Guys.
Keep it real.
If you have a problem, opinion, feedback, or anything at all, please email us at wolfowlpod@gmail.com. That's wolfowlpod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you.